Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Hi, Penelope Noir.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. I watched that McQueen doco that we talked about a couple of months ago and the film festival was on.
Isn't it amazing?
It's amazing, yeah, it's amazing. It's a really quite a compelling documentary to watch.
Yeah, I found it very heartbreaking, but awesome.
Well, you know? What I found astounding was actually the just how amazing his work was. You know,
yeah.
Like I forgot. I've always been really like it's always blown me away. But just to sit there and watch it again and in that context and just like, yeah, it was being talked up the whole time. And then when it came out, you're like, well, no, that is next level. That is so like I don't know if we've got something.
Yeah.
Doing that sort of thing at the moment.
No, I just...
Alexander McQueen we're talking about.
Yeah, there's nothing... I don't think there is anything. Like, I just think he was unbelievably smart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I had the foresight to sort of see what would be accepted or what would become, what would capture people's sort of... You know, hearts, and then but then take it even further, like almost like he's like 6 or 7 or 8, 10 years ahead.
Yeah,
again, which is really.
I think that takes a great mind too, but then I guess
he's into it though. He loved
the creativity and the imagination. Like imagine like if you could get a tourist pass or something into his brain and go wandering around and just see the images. I reckon it would be amazing.
It's like that movie that Jennifer Lopez is on, and when she goes into the brain of the murderer. What's that one? The Cell.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It was an uncomfortable movie. Either. It's good. Great movie. Great movie, actually. Good actress.
She sings, doesn't she?
I haven't seen many movies with her in it.
So we're talking about fashion now? What we're doing, are leaving yourselves right wide open to my Jennifer Lopez story.
Oh, now that you've brought it up.
Anywho.
I'll save that.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about lingerie.
Oh.
In particular, the bra.
This is the perfect topic for you to use this sting as many
times. I fell over myself trying to use it then. Lingerie leaves it so many options. And then specifically the brassiere.
Yep. Yes, indeed. So
the old over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
That's the one. So there's a new lingerie range that Miss Crab is stocking, which is really, really amazing. It's called La Fille d'Eau, and it's traditionally, if you think of lingerie, well,
what does that mean? Do you know what it means?
It actually means, it's inspired by the French word for bra, but it's also meaning daughter of O, but I'm not quite sure what that's about.
Uh-huh.
It's handmade in Belgium. And it's like the most amazing fabric. I can't even describe what the fabric is, but it's kind of like
dreams.
Yeah, and it just feels like it would be the most ultimate like underwear to wear, you know.
Mm.
So that made me kind of like think about, well, where did the first bra come from?
Brassiere is a fairly French word already, isn't it?
It means upper
brassiere.
Arm.
Is brassiere. Yeah. Brassiere or brassiere?
I think it's brassiere. Yeah,
bra.
But
yep.
You know,
bra. Yep.
But it got short. It actually got shortened in like the 1930s, I think, to bra.
Right.
But
people got lazy in the 30s.
There's such a massive history behind the bra. In ancient Egypt, women ran around bare-breasted. I reckon that would be quite liberating.
Yeah, fair enough too.
But the
I know this is going to make me sound really pervy, but I think that's quite weird that New Zealand girls are so freaked out about being topless. Yeah, like if you go to Europe, and I'm not saying just because I like to see boobs.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's not about that. I'm saying that's kind of a thing. I don't, like, you go to Europe and stuff, and everyone's so comfortable with it.
Normal.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how you look, or it's a comfort and sort of, social, just socially acceptable thing. I mean, New Zealand is quite uptight about that in a weird way.
Yeah. I think it's
God forbid you go to Takapuna Beach and get your top off, you know?
Yeah. I think it's quite a weird thing because when you look at it, it's also a political thing, like it's about women being, constrained and controlled.
Yeah.
And then,
which is sort of why I find it weird.
Yeah.
Because surely you just, it's it's who you are.
I'm more
who I am with a bra on. That doesn't make sense.
But they were kind of like bra bikini type garments depicted in some female athletes in Minoan civilization in like the 14th century. So that kind of makes me think that maybe it was to do with, you know, sport and stuff like that they started wearing.
The two S's, sport and support, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
But in Roman culture, large-breasted women were seen as comical, and so young girls would actually strap themselves up until they got, to try and reduce the size of them. But the first kind of bra was kind of invented by this woman who was, like, quite well-endowed in the early 20th century. And she, like, in those days, the dresses were, they were becoming quite straight, but they were had a low neckline, you know, and they were quite kind of like slim and straight dresses. But because she had large breasts, when she wore the whalebone corsetry and stuff like that, it would stick through the dress.
Ow.
So she got her maid to bring her two handkerchiefs, and she sewed them together, and made kind of, you know, put a ribbon around the top and the bottom and then signed it up. Kind of like if you think of like a stylized netball bib.
I can see it, totally.
And so she patented that on November the 3rd in 1914, and went around kind of salons and kind of sold it to her friends in a couple of department stores. But funnily enough, her husband dissuaded her from getting into the business, so she sold the patent to the Warner Brothers Corset Company, and they used it for 30 years and made like over $15 million off it. Yeah.
Good call from the husband there.
Yeah, I know, like crazy. Here's another example of, you know.
God forbid people think that your wife had some thoughts of her own.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, like, I mean, the bra then went on to, you know, because there were lots of people in between, you know, her coming up with that patent there. There were other patents of, like, altering corsets into other kind of, like.
It would have been in time with the sort of the of new fabrics and new techniques and machinery and that sort of thing coming out as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because
the proliferation.
Yeah, and it's like the changing thing of fashion as well. So like corsets were encouraged to push, you know, the breasts up and have them spilling out the top, and you nearly saw almost all the breasts spilling out the top. But there were also, what's quite interesting is like in 1874, this woman called Elizabeth Stuart Phelps was like going around telling everyone to burn the corsets, which is kind of like almost like 100 years later, it was like burn the bra. But there were like clothing reform movements of feminists around that time that were pushing to change, you know, people wearing corsets, because a lot of women, you know,
couldn't breathe.
Yeah, it was seen as the norm to be pale and weak, and a lot of women died from tuberculosis and consumption, because, you know, when you constrain like that, you can't breathe properly, you know.
I'm reminds me of Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, and like people just going, you know, women having to go and rest and, you know, stay in bed for ages because they were too weak to cope with the world, you know. It's like quite funny.
Take some laudanum.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just thought I'd do a little bit of history of the bra. I didn't kind of like go right up, because then it gets into like World War II and like giving up all the metal to make guns. And so, you know, they became kind of like less wire contraptions.
Yeah. I mean, nowadays, very, very, I mean, barely any wire in the average.
Well, you can choose, you know, like a lot of them will have the wire support.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny how they use whalebone for lots of them to start out with as well. Like, I remember when I was a teenager wearing like 1950s dresses that you'd buy at op shops, and they were all whalebones in them.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And you'd just be like walking around like.
Whale, really?
Yeah. Pundiful.
I just thought I'd try that on.
Yeah. But if you are into lingerie, I do recommend you checking out the collection at Miss Crab, because it truly is beautiful.
Sensational.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you would imagine, you could think there can only be so many ways that you could do undies and a bra. You know?
Yeah, but this is...
But no, but no.
This one is, like, really nothing like I've seen before. That's why it's so exciting, you know. There's some on the website, if you check it out.
You're quite an aura, I can tell.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Some on the website where it's actually just the straps and goes underneath the breasts and no cover over the breasts.
Well, okay.
You know, so it would be like, oh, you feel supported, but you're naked.
Free.
Yeah, you're free.
You're
you know?
Free.
If you're one who enjoys the feel of the particular clothing on the skin or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I was shopping for some lingerie once, and it came across some English company. Like, I started sort of looking at, what's the classic? Vivienne Westwood?
Agent Provocateur.
Yeah, Agent Provocateur, this one, yeah. And then ended up at some place called the King's Crumpet or something like that, and just with this lingerie that was like £700 per piece, you know. It was devastatingly awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it was more like art, you know, it's a whole world, and very, very lucrative world too, I believe.
Yeah. I guess you could describe this as being kind of like a minimalist... almost like a sport kind of lingerie, but not, you know, like the
like
fabric
splendere.
Feels. Yes, yeah, splendere. How would you describe it, Tess? You're having a look.
Yeah,
there?
I was just having a little look online, and I'd describe it as
for those people who don't know.
It almost looks like the stuff that Miss Crab is stocking anyway. Almost looks like it could be swimwear.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting because I was just looking at their sizing. Their sizing be typical of like 8 to 10 A down, it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that's
how Miss Crab does her sizing generally.
But in terms of buying lingerie, that's quite a controversial way to size it.
Is it?
Yeah, because if you can't mix back and front.
Mm. No, like cup size and
one size fits all kind of.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which
though.
Isn't the way
but I think with this lingerie you'd want to try it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What's the procedure when you're trying on lingerie?
Same as any other clothes?
Just try it on over your other lingerie?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. For your underwear,
yeah.
For your briefs, yes.
Yeah.
Same as swimwear.
Yeah.
Same as
a
few. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Just asking for a gun. Yeah.
Guy procedure?
But I think pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Cool. Or just not try it on, get home.
Oh, no, go take those back. Just get the receipt there.
No.
Stink, bro.
I bought these from you yesterday and I didn't get the receipt or anything. I don't even remember. Actually, it wasn't me, it was my mum. Can't judge them. Thank you, Penny.
Thanks.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.